The BBC would like to announce that the next scene is not considered suitable for family viewing. It contains scenes of violence involving people's heads and arms getting chopped off, their ears nailed to trees, and their toenails pulled out in slow motion. There are also scenes of naked women with floppy breasts.
Oh, thank God. Vibrator repair.
No, ma'am. Los Angeles Police Department. Sorry.
CBS Evening News. With Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger. War. Killer. Fraud. CIA. Mayhem. Crisis. Horrible. Inflation.
Military threat.
The flaming debris. Fatal heart attack. Stress injuries. Prison disaster. Economic collapse. Dangerous radiation. A tide of violence and human misery. A liar. And an unremorseful killer. Communist international smuggling pipeline. Starving victims. And now they die. Chemical weapons. Carpet bombing. Deaths. Tough FBI. Killed and injured children. Police conspiracy. Negative attacks. Discipline. Sex and drinking binges. Dying of a heart attack. Dying of breast cancer. Dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb. Mountains of credit card debt. The mountain of cocaine, tons of cocaine, atomic bomb radiation experiments, unwitting test subjects, dangerous radiation, marijuana abuse, hooked on drugs. Time for us to bug out. Rocked, rocked, rocked by rape, rocked, rocked, rocked by rape, rocked, rocked, rocked by rape. Sex, drugs, and rock by rape. Nazi war criminals, cancer, darkness, murder, caution, terrorist, castigation, police conspiracy, dramatic urban torture, drunk driving, hostage siege, government shutdown, collapses, desperation, despair, deep into debt, criminal persecuted, semi-automatic handgun, explosive gunman killed a tourist, funeral victims, racist and massive lawsuit. Hostage, ethnic war, cancer death rate fleeing for their lives, CIA narcotics operations, hungry, homeless, frustrated terrorists, spoiled, unsanitary, hard-hitting losers, brutal, bizarre, critical bombing, the gang's rule, criminal anti-government love triangle, deeper and deeper into damage, even death, anti-drug DEA, worldwide ban, time for us to bug out. Rock. Rocked, rocked by rape, rocked, rocked, rocked by rape, rocked, rocked, rocked by rape, sex, drugs, and rocked by rape. disgruntled conspirator attack, killed. U.S. warplane went down in flames, crash, gunned down, shooting death, blood drops, murderer. Desperate tragedy, isn't he dead? Death penalty, ransom note, forbidding, notorious, overwhelming, communist, urban punishment, low ethics, extortion and murder. A plane crash set an entire neighborhood on fire. International smuggling pipeline. Make it faster, better, cheaper. Health risk, criminal, murdering a man, tough, diplomatic hell on earth. Magnetic radiation, fraudulent assassins, mysterious murder, chemical terrorism, military targets, fatal crash, danger, a freak accident, no known survivors, wild and woolly semi-automatic truck bomb, emergency anti-fatal shooting rampage, notorious negative police brutality, fear, the hidden Nazis next door, Marxist rebels, serious murderer, accidents, problems, punitive damages, like that negative, heart-wrenching controversy. Time for us to bug out. Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Sex, drugs, and rock by rape. Bug out, bug out, bug out, bug, bug.
And that's part of our world tonight. For the CBS Evening News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night, and have a great weekend.
Hey, everybody. This is episode 7 of the Infonomicon radio show. Today is August the 11th, and I'm your host, Droops, along with Mr. Obfuscated.
Hey, 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 hey,
hey. And we're both on IRC in the room Boycock.
Don't,
where we've been talking for some time.
Don't boycott the boycock.
And anyway, this is Infonomicon Radio. We're about to come out with Infonomicon TV as soon as I figure out how to send it over and let Obfuscated look at it.
I'm going to preview and critique it before it goes out to the mass media.
And, yeah, because, you know, it's that good that people are going to care. Anyway, do you have any housekeeping, my friend?
Yes. I've been thinking about it because all the shows that are on the net have, like, a thing. You know what I'm talking about? Like, Ben Rev is, like, you know, the revolution would be digitized or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And default, everything's always on default. Uber Lido.
What's the theme for Uber Lido?
Uber Lido. That's it, I guess. And we don't have one.
Well, we had enough time getting a name. I don't think that's going to be an easy task for us getting the motto.
I've got one.
Oh, what's that?
Infonomicon. It's like getting fucked in the ass with a piece of frozen shit.
Excellent. I'm going to call my mom in a few minutes and tell her about that one.
She would be proud. My mom is.
Is she? I might call her, too.
No, she's not proud. Believe me. I hear about it a lot.
All right. Well, I did get an email this week from none other than Mr. Jason Scott. And I'm sure he needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway. He's the guy at textfiles.com. He either read the show notes or he listened to episode 2 of our show. And he wrote, "Hey there, Droops. Thanks for the nice words on episode 2 of your radio show." And he updated the MP3s on the site and included the descriptions that we had put on there. He wrote that they really sucked with the descriptions and we needed better ones, and he might help us with that. And I'd like to charge Obfuscated with the duty of show notes because I'm really bad at it.
I accept.
Excellent. Anyway, he's a good guy. Everybody go to textfiles.com. I'm sure we already have been there. Our show is at audio.textfiles.com, excuse me. And that's not the only place, actually, on the Internet that our show is.
It's not?
It's not. We have changed the name of the show, so it's no longer at hackermedia.net/droops. It's now hackermedia.net/infonomicon. It's also at thefiesta.smutstars.com.
Because we are the smut stars of the month.
And the pilot episode is actually at whirlwindmissions.org/droops_show.
Who the hell is that?
Mobile Digit, I
think. Oh, okay, cool, okay.
I've forgotten. It's been so long. I have no memory. Anyway, I think that's all the housekeeping I have. You ready to start some show?
Yeah, no. I want to go back to housekeeping. No one's sending anybody email except, you know, people need to send us email. Stop being fucking assholes. You're pissing me off, goddammit.
And your email address is?
Fuck you.
It's lab.
My ass. My email address, which is going to be changing soon, is or both of ours are going to be changing soon. But for right now, it's lab5ae@gmail.com.
Excellent.
And what is yours?
Mine's droops@gmail.com.
Easier to remember.
Yes. All right, buddy. That was a nice barb. Everybody, I'm sick. So if I sound shittier than usual, that's why.
I gave him syphilis.
Yes, I got syphilis over the phone. It happened, y'all.
Yo.
Anyway, go ahead with your first article there, Slick.
Well, I got to go first.
I don't know.
Okay.
I want you to go first.
Okay. First article is NPAA, our friends over there, gets money from 321 Studios, the DVD-X copy. Okay, here we go. NPAA has announced that it has reached a settlement with the late DVD backup software vendor 321 Studios, which ceased all operations last week. With the agreement, 321 Studios will make a substantial payment to Move Industries' anti-piracy campaign. Payment, okay. The settlement also demands 321 Studios to stop selling its software, which it already has.
Well, actually, you can still go to Sam's Club in Tupelo, Mississippi, and purchase the good version of DVD-X copy.
Should we all, everybody that listens to the show, Pixelfiend and Jason Scott, we'll grab them on a bus and we'll take them to Tupelo, Mississippi.
Or just send me some money and I'll get you a copy if you want a legal one.
Yeah, I'll let you go first before I say what I have to say.
Go ahead, buddy.
You have no comment on that?
I have no comment.
Really?
I was just taking more medicine.
Okay, man. This is bullshit. Like, really, like... Oh, I'm going to talk about this later in the show, actually, with the movie industry and everything. So I'm going to let this article pass. Just know that, you know, we're getting fucked again. We can't copy our own fucking DVDs for backup.
Yes. And it's important to back up digital media on a CD because it's not like a tape. Like, a tape is pretty damn indestructible. Like, the audio quality sucks, but I have tapes that have been, you know, in the bottom of a book bag for years, and they're fine.
Well, technically, the lifespan of a VHS tape is a lot shorter than DVDs.
Okay. Long-term, DVD much better.
Yeah, but you still need to make backups. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to damage a DVD than it is VHS.
Oh, yes.
Okay, the longevity of it is very short of a VHS. It's like, I forget how long it is, but DVDs, like, I forget, was it like 1,000 years or something like that? It's some big number. But
actually, I read something the other day that DVDs are touted as lasting for a long time and mm-hmm. CDs.
Right.
But they're actually due to undergo bit rot. And there's actually a government-funded project where you can – I forgot the link to this. I don't know why I didn't write it down. That there's a guy, and you can send him a DVD or a CD out of the 50-pack that you buy, and he'll put it through his test and tell you how long, theoretically – the ones from that batch should last. Because if you buy, like, some fancy Sony blank CD 1 week and you go back the next week, you might not be buying the same exact CD. They're always buying from different manufacturers and putting their names on it, like we spoke of earlier.
Right, and you also notice that almost each CD has a different amount of space you can put on it.
Mm-hmm.
I always love that point. I don't know if I'm going to send this guy my fucking DVDs, but it's a good idea, though.
Well, you can just send them one, and they'll test out a patch.
But, yeah, I'm going to talk about the movie industry thing later on. But it is important to back up your shit. And plus, if I want to, like, download shit illegally, how in the fuck am I going to do it now?
That's right.
Well, let's be honest.
Downloading shit illegal is very important.
Let's be honest about this shit. How am I supposed to, like, check out a movie that I really want to see and I don't want to pay for?
Yeah.
Where the fuck did that come from? Anyway,
you're going to have to make friends, buddy.
What's that?
You're going to have to make some friends and get them to buy the movies.
I thought that's what women are for.
Eh, whatever.
Okay, go ahead, man.
Okay, I was going to talk about Microsoft releasing Service Pack 2, but when I brought it up right before the show started, Mr. Obfuscated, the techno guru, was like, what, that's out? Huh? So, not even going to discuss that whole thing, because it'd be like ruining the ending of the baseball game that he's watching taped.
Watching taped. I wish I was watching taped right about now. Anyway, yes, I did not know. I've been away from the computer for the last 2 days. Okay, talk about your little article.
Okay, anyway, I'm one of these people that collects old computer crap. Like, I have 4 printers in my closet that are never, ever, ever going to be used again.
That's interesting, Jubes.
But I keep them anyway. Why? I don't know. But there's good news for people like me that like old shit. There are some new researchers have developed a method to take an old inkjet printer, and they have to have an old one with the big wide nozzle because it works better, to develop human skin for burn victims. Now you're saying, what the hell are you talking about?
Can you buy this at Walmart?
You can't buy it at Walmart yet, but these guys are using old modified printers, and it's some university researchers, didn't say what university, and they're developing a way to print skin. The skin printing method aims to produce sturdier skin that is currently used for a skin graft method, which minimizes complications. Like, sometimes your skin doesn't accept the skin graft, and sometimes hair won't grow on it, and sometimes it itches real bad, and sometimes it gets real tight, and you can't, you know, move, and you're not as flexible as you used to be. And they're taking, actually, your skin and putting it on a gauze-type material and as a layer of cells, and they let it grow for a couple weeks, and then they print more cells on top of it with an old inkjet printer. I think that's really, really super cool, and that's why I'm saving all this old crap.
So they're just going to, like, print us a new layer? Like,
well, if you're a burn victim, you need skin. They're making new skin with your old skin and a new method.
Right, so if I had a birthmark and it burnt, they're going to be able to print me a new one?
They'll be able to print you new skin. Like, they're not going for, like, you know, photographic quality skin here. They're just going for skin that's not going to suck as bad.
So is this, like, a fax quality? Fax quality on?
Fax quality skin, yeah. So anyway, all those people that have all that shit stored up in their closet, don't throw it away. There's a use for it, or just mail it to me, and I'll store it in my house.
There's going to be a lot of money made in this.
Yes.
This is a new scam of the internet.
All right, buddy, go ahead.
Okay, man. WS addressing eases road. IBM, Microsoft, SAP, Sun, and BEA have agreed on a new web services specification. WS addressing to present to the World Wide Web Consortium. There's plenty of specifications in the web services world.
Specification.
I know, I'm drinking orange juice right now. Like, but a lot of people...
That's bad radio.
Yeah, well, I just farted too, you know. But a lot of people haven't heard about this one. There's a reason for that, says analyst Ron, I'm going to call him Sminkenheimer because I don't know how to pronounce his name. He's of ZapThink. It's a nuts and bolts spec. There won't be products built around it. That he said, he adds that WS addressing is the spec that helps other specs move along. The goal of WS addressing is to name web services in the same unique way as IP addresses are URLs. If the same kind of convention can be reached for web services, it'd be easier for requests to be routed, just like knowing a URL can
can get you to desired web page. The fact that the big technology vendors are agreed in principle on how to move forward the WS addressing is encouraging, Schmickenheimer feels. This is a good vision. That said, there are plenty to be done on the standards front. This is quote. We need to get some agreement on reliability and security specs in order for the web services to be used in mission critical stuff.
Excellent.
No comments on that.
What else is there to say?
Yeah.
Go ahead and talk, see. Go ahead and talk.
You nothing to say? I'm just, you know.
I'm just ruining every article you talk about.
What's that?
I'm just trying to ruin every article you talk about.
I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
WS addressing, yeah, that's a good idea. I'm glad they're doing it. Microsoft being on it, I just hope they...
Go Microsoft it up.
Yeah, that's a new term. I like that. But I just hope they can agree on a standard, and Microsoft or any other one of these companies don't try to, you know, patent it, the idea. Mm-hmm. Or try to do anything sleazy like that. I just hope it becomes, like, you know, just a standard and just open.
Like, well, there's a lot of standards that, you know, were developed, and then Microsoft kind of writes their own version of the standard.
Right.
You know, when you have the monopoly, you don't really have to follow the pack, because you are the pack.
This is true.
Go ahead,
man.
Okay. Yahoo is trying to compete with Google. And, obviously, they used to license Google search technology. They used to be partners, but now they're not anymore. Google's going out with their IPO. You know, things are heating up. Anyway, Yahoo is testing a new thing. It's local.yahoo.com. And it's so you can type in your zip code and then type in restaurant and then find restaurant in your area. Wow. And it tested it out. It's got maps. It's actually pretty accurate for my little dinky town in Mississippi, which I think wouldn't be a high priority for them, but they're actually doing pretty well with it. And
don't other sites do this?
Yes, they do. It's not a new idea, but it's a new thing that Yahoo is doing.
Right.
And Google actually in March introduced Google Local, which does pretty much the same damn thing.
Well, Google is better than Yahoo.
Oh, yeah. And Yahoo is also doing something a little different. They're letting users rate and review the businesses in the area through its local search site. And the search results Yahoo provides include advertisements called sponsored results by local businesses. Now, my little area doesn't have any sponsored results. The first restaurant that wasn't just a little dinky hole in the wall around here was actually Sonic when I searched for it. But when I found Meat Pueblo Mexican Restaurant, which is this little dinky Mexican restaurant, and I looked at it, it actually had the times they were open, it had the credit card information, like what you could use to pay for, and I think that's really handy. Now when I go somewhere, I can find a place and figure out how I'm going to pay for things, and I'm surprised that Yahoo's doing such a good job with it. I hope they turn the heat on Google, and... everything gets a lot better for everybody. All right, buddy, go ahead.
You done?
Yeah.
Speaking of Google, Google has a decision to make. That's me saying this. Okay, here's the article. According to Computer Security Corp's Johnny Long, hackers, this is their term, I'm just reading from the article. Hackers can use Google search to locate thousands of websites and servers with weak security, perfect targets for attacks.
Okay,
wait a minute. Fucking Firefox just froze me. Okay, sorry about that. According to Computer Security Corporation's Johnny Long, hackers can use Google search to locate thousands of websites and servers with weak security, perfect targets for attacks. The practice is nothing new, but Google's advanced search and website caching features make it particularly good at the task. Not all search engines reveal so many vulnerabilities. Some might say this is something to worry about, and even that Google should alter its search so that hackers can no longer use it for malicious purposes. After all, without Google locating susceptible targets,
could be a chore for hackers that would slow down their ability to do damage. But Google dumbing down its search solely to prevent hackers from using it would be wrong. It's exactly those advanced options that make Google such a great tool for everyone else. Yes, Google is used by hackers and for nefarious purposes, but it's also used by journalists, researchers, business people, shoppers, and millions of others for legitimate purposes. To make the legitimate user suffer because a few bad appers are using the advanced services for malice is unfair. It's also poor business sense. Google's quiet about this at the moment. They're not saying what they're going to do yet. But this coming out right now is just kind of weird because this information has been out for a really long time, how you can find vulnerabilities with Google.
Oh, yeah.
You can go to fucking Books a Million and Barnes & Noble right now and pick up there's actually
Google about, Hack.
Well, there's that one, and there's like three or four other ones I saw about the same subject. So it's been out there. I don't know what the bitch is about it now. But I was just hoping, praying that Google stays good to their word for being good for what they do and stick to their guns and don't pussy out on us.
I really think if your sensitive information can be found by a search engine...
It's your fault.
...that you really should work on protecting your information a little bit better.
Correct. Like, check this out. If you're married, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're fucking around with your wife. Okay, if you leave your mistress's panties laying in the kitchen fucking table, your wife can see it, that's your fucking fault.
That's right.
Being cautious. There's ways to hide your information on the net without people just to be able to go fucking Google it.
Yeah.
Use it. Spiders, the robots.txt, Stank Dogs talked about it a few times.
Mm-hmm.
There's countless articles about it. Look it up, read it, know what the fuck to do. Don't be a fucking tool.
Excellent.
Oh, shut up.
That was excellent. All right, my favorite legislator in the entire world is Orrin Hatch. Actually, I'm lying like a son of a bitch. Orrin Hatch is he's working on this little act. It's called the Induce Act, which gives copyright holders a cause of action to sue anyone who induces the violation of their copyrights.
What is he?
What's that?
What is he?
Senator from Utah.
No, what is he?
What is he?
Party affiliation.
Oh, he's a, I forgot what he is. What is he? I think he's I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
He's
go
a fucking
on.
Mormon, I do know that.
He's a Mormon?
Yeah, funny underwear and everything.
Fuck him up the ass. I fucking hate a Mormon.
When he was a little kid, he was riding around on his bicycle saying, "Hey, y'all, come join our church." Anyway, now this isn't going to make any kind of dent in internet piracy, and that's what it's destined. That's what it's designed to solve. Excuse me. It would just unleash a wave of lawsuits that everyone's going to be suing everybody, and that pretty much does nothing. I mean, I could sue you right now for violating something, even if it was frivolous or not, and then you'd have to countersue it and prove that it was frivolous. And that's two lawsuits over fucking nothing.
He's a Republican.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Hatch claims his bill would leave in place a Supreme Court ruling that protects the makers of general-purpose technologies from copyright liability, which means if you make something that'll copy a CD, you're okay, but the guy that copied the CD can get sued. That's kind of silly. I don't know. That's kind of good, though. Like, that's saying if you make a gun and someone uses it in a crime, you can't get sued. That's a good thing. But even if Mr. Hatch was up on the level and he was right and everything, the conceptual problems with criminalizing tools is inescapable. If you can get away with it, there's an umbrella of people that can't get in trouble for doing this because they make the stuff. The bad people are going to hide under that umbrella, too. That's just how it goes. This bill's not going to do anything. It's just wasting legislation and wasting our court's time.
Right, just like gun laws that
that try to get people to register their guns, supposedly keeping the bad people from killing people.
Yeah.
You fucking think that a fucking... I'm going to go fucking, like, shoot my whole family. I'm going to go register a gun?
Yeah.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
Drugs are illegal. Everybody has drugs. If you make guns illegal, everyone's going to still have guns, except the few people that abide by the little law. You know? If you make this stuff illegal, people are still going to do it.
I say fuck that law, and I say fuck having a law against, prostitution.
Yeah. What's up with this prostitution law, anyway?
Actually, I've heard, my favorite quote from George Carlin is, why is it illegal to sell something that's perfectly legal to give away?
This is true. Money is power and sex is power. If you're, you know, giving money for sex, then you're just trading power.
And plus, I want to open up a brothel.
And plus, I want to go to this brothel.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're invited. And everybody listen to our show, all three people.
It'll be real crowded.
Okay, man.
All right, buddy. Your turn.
It is?
Yes. I was talking about Orrin Hatch.
Okay, my... Okay, next article is, Microsoft announces XP Lite in Asia. This is kind of like Diet Coke, but for Microsoft. That's my quote. Okay, this is Bangkok, Thailand. This is an Associated Report article. Microsoft announced Wednesday it would offer a low-cost starter edition of its Windows XP operating system in Asia starting in October, as it strives to hold onto market share facing erosion from the open-source Linux system and software piracy. Okay, I'm not going to read this article because basically that just said what it was about. But check this out. I'm going to tell you what this thing lacks that regular doesn't have. Let me find out. Okay, this is the downgrade. This display resolution set to 8800 x 600 maximum.
Okay.
Oh, what the fuck? That's what they're disabling? That's fucking gay. Okay, what else? No more support for PC to PC home networking. Okay, I'll go with that for a low cost.
Have they never heard of third-party applications?
Exactly.
I think if they release this budget Windows, obviously people are going to buy it because it's going to be bundled with PCs and there's people that follow the rules. But if it's just more irritating than regular Windows, isn't it going to drive more people to pirate your software and go to Linux?
Well, I don't understand about the whole Microsoft being like $300. Is it $300 now?
Because
I've never bought a version of Windows. I'm not gonna bullshit with that.
XP Home is $199.
No, XP Professional.
XP Professional. Yeah, it's $300.
Why is it so fucking much? Now, it's not like you're like making like shoes.
Yeah.
It's like basically you make this software, which obviously they have enough money. And they're charging out of the fucking ass for it.
But you get wonderful support with that, like Service Pack 2 that, you know, was supposed to be released a long time ago.
Uh-huh. Well, support my ass. I've never had to call them up because I don't have a legal copy. But
I read an article a while back, and a guy had a problem with something that had to do with Microsoft. And it was... trying to recall the exact problem. But anyway, he called Microsoft support to his company, and they had to pay to talk to the Microsoft guy to answer the question. And he calls the guy, and the guy didn't know the answer and said, I'm going to have to charge you for doing research on the problem.
What?
So the company, they need the answer, and the company goes to pay for it. Well,
this company already owns
it. He finally gets Microsoft to come up with an answer, and the best thing is they don't have an acceptable answer for it, here's your bill for doing the research. It, you know, ended up in nothing, and he was a little pissed off about this. So that kind of hurts your little budget. And he called Miss Cleo and asked her. And, of course, when you call Miss Cleo, you don't actually get Miss Cleo. You get some college student working in the summer or whatever. And they gave him an answer also. It was exactly on par with Microsoft, which was, we can't answer that question. And they charge, like, way less. So next time you call Microsoft, you want to, just call Ms. Cleo and ask them. Same answers, cost a lot less. It's quicker, too.
And these people already have licenses for it, right?
Yeah. All right. Is it my turn?
Tag, you're it.
Okay, buddy. Well, there's this group called N-Power, which is the letter N and then the word power. And they're in New York, and they're a nonprofit group, and they have a program called Technology Service Corps. And this little group, Technology Service Corps, provides technology consulting to other nonprofits. And they're given low-income youth skills and resources to land jobs and information support, or information technology support. And they're taking kids off the street, teaching them how to make web pages, how to network computers, and then they're, you know, selling their services to other nonprofit groups. I think that's pretty cool. And the title of the program is From the Streets to Geeks. I thought that was kind of clever.
Not really.
They're accepting, oh, shut up, bastard. They're accepting men and women between the ages of 18 and 25, as long as you have a high school degree or earned equivalency degree. Well, shit. We both qualify for that one, I think. I think it's pretty cool that it's just flooding the market with people that can already do the job. But anyway, give people training. That's good.
Cool.
Move on. Your turn.
Okay.
Sorry, mine sucked, fucker.
AOL offers workaround for instant messenger flaw. AOL is recommending that Windows users upgrade to a new beta version of its messaging service due to be released later this week. This new version of AIM will address the vulnerability and can be attained via the AIM portal, the company said in its statement. So we got to download a new version of AIM instead of just patching it. What I don't understand is that, say, okay, obviously AOL's market share is going down like a fucking, like my grandma's tits. They're really fucking low right now. So, say they just came out with this, like, vulnerability they had, right? They just made it up out of their ass. So they can get you a new version with a new license agreement? Not the license agreement, with the user's in agreement. And no one reads that thing, and it just says, you know, more spyware they could pimp on your computer. So they can make more money.
Do you actually use AIM for anything?
I have it on my computer. I don't use it really that often.
Which version do you have?
I couldn't tell you. I haven't used it in a long time.
I use a version off oldversion.com back when you could still disable the ads.
That's a good site. Mention that site again.
Oldversion.com.
Check that site out. It's a really good site.
They've got really old, cool shit like scour.net, which, if you were into file sharing a long time ago, like in 98, 97, scour.net was the way to go.
They got Kazaa Lite.
They've got Kazaa Lite. They've got old versions of AIM all the way up. They've got old versions of AOL. And, actually, AOL 2.0 will only work with dial-up. I found that out the other day. I don't know why I did, but playing around with that for some reason. Anyway, where was I was heading? Nowhere?
Nowhere fast.
Nowhere fast. All right, is it my turn? You done?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Okay. There's you know that periodic table that they had up in physics class and chemistry class?
That thing? That's what that is?
That big old thing?
Yeah, that big thing.
Well, the 49th element is a word that I can't pronounce because, you know me, it's I-N-D-I-U-M. I'm going to call it indium. And indium is something you've probably never heard of. And it's a silvery white metal. It's classified as minor by the mining, minor as in little, by the mining industry. And it's been used chiefly in solders. It's actually a byproduct of digging up more important, more valuable metals. But you're going to start hearing a lot about this because there's a peculiar property that indium has is that you can see through it. And you've seen it before. Every time you look at an LCD screen, it's the metal that they put between the little LCDs, or the little dots, whatever, fucker. And they're using a lot of this stuff. Like last year, they used almost the entire last year's supply just making these things. And as you know, every time you go to the store, there's crystal displays everywhere you go. Last year, they used 28 tons of it. And to refine that much, it took 230 tons just to get that. By a 2006 estimate, they're going to need 64 tons of indium, meaning that 540 tons of the stuff is going to come out the ground.
Right.
That's 20% that's currently being pulled out. And you're going to say, well, why don't they just mine more of it? Well, indium is actually a very minor part of mining. Let's see, where's my little thing? The largest producer of it, some group out of China, produced about 50 tons of it last year. And you think 50 tons, that's a lot. They actually, that was a waste product of them mining zinc, and they mined 250,000 tons of zinc. So indium is going to be becoming a very expensive little metal pretty soon, and prices of LCDs are going to go up, and demand is going to go up, and they're not going to be as many for everyone to get unless some mining company decides they're going to start mining it, but there's probably not going to be enough money in it. So new technology, here we come. All right, that's all I got.
Pretty interesting.
Eh, you like mining. Okay, your turn, buddy.
Okay, man. Blockbuster takes a page from Netflix. Blockbuster says it will begin offering an online movie rental service similar to the model popularized by Netflix, beginning in 2005, in addition to uncovering Netflix's subscription price, undercutting Netflix subscription price. Blockbuster will offer two free in-store movie rental coupons per month. Do you use Netflix or anything? I'm only saying this because I have a deep, fun fascination with Netflix.
I've read about it, but I've never actually used it.
The service is fucking great. It only works if you rent a lot of movies.
Yeah.
But then again, like, how much are DVDs at Blockbuster?
Not very much.
Well, they're like $3 to $5.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't rent movies.
Okay, I pay with tax because you have to pay state tax also. I pay, I think it's like 23, let's give it an even number. I pay like $23 a month. And I'm renting about 9 to 12 movies a month. So it works out for me. Great.
Do they have a good selection?
Dude, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm the movie geek. They have the best selection of any rental place I've ever seen.
Excellent.
I can find, like, my really hard-to-find shit on there, so that's always good. Okay, that's it. I just want to tell everybody, don't use Blockbuster, even if they're undercutting. And pimp Netflix, because they're the shit. And Blockbuster, they're evil. They screen movies before they're allowed. They rent them out, which I don't believe in.
No.
But they do that. And they have the market by the balls when it comes to movie rentals. So, support Netflix. Okay, I'm done. I just want to pimp them out.
Okay, I have a shitty cell phone because I went and splurged and bought a Nokia car kit for my truck. And I have to stay with the big old form factor so that I can plug my cell phone into my truck, so I don't have to rip out my car kit and buy a new one. And my cell phone works really, really well in my area. And I live in a rural area. And my fiance just bought a brand new Sprint phone. It's got a camera on it. It's really, really cool. Couldn't get near the usability that mine does in just making calls. Like, hers can get on the internet, this, that, and the other, but when you're driving around, hers loses signal a lot more frequently than mine. And the reason is, her phone doesn't have analog. It just does digital. And digital's great if you have a digital tower. But if you're using the old analog service, which a lot of the country is, your phone's a piece of shit. And all your fancy features make your phone just a shitty camera. And U.S. cellular carriers are aggressively promoting this new generation of phones that has the cameras, the web surfing, and they're not adding in the old analog gear. Now, the FCC actually requires carriers continue to operate networks until February 18th of 08, but it doesn't require phone manufacturers to include analog components in every handset. So, one, your phone sucks in analog areas, and two, you can't dial 911 in a lot of these areas that are covered with analog signal. And one of the quotes of the week is actually from this. It's from a guy from Altel named Kevin Beebe. And it kind of speaks to me of how they're doing things. And Altel is one of the few phone companies. I think it's the number 7th wireless carrier in the nation. And they're still putting analog on every phone that they use, or buying phones that have analog. And he says, the cost benefit of offering a digital-only phone for us hasn't outweighed the impact it would have on our ability to provide the customer with adequate coverage outside our network. And the cost benefit, it should be about providing us services. All those little cell phone companies make an ass load of money. And obviously businesses have expenses and things like this, and you have to worry about your cost benefit of things you're offering. But they're discontinuing analog service and phones because it costs them a little bit more.
But what if the FCC requires that, though?
They don't require it on the phones.
What's
just on the networks.
That's ass backwards.
Yeah. Isn't that ass backwards?
But if you need it for 911 in certain areas, isn't there a safety factor along with that?
Well, you would think that, but these companies are just fucking you over with not adding. You know, I mean, that's the service that they should fucking provide with their phone. Like, they will show their coverage area on a map, and some of the coverage area that they're showing, they're like, oh, it's great, it's analog, and the phone that you're buying won't work in that coverage area.
Yeah, I've been in areas where I have to switch to analog to get a good, you know, good reception.
Yeah. I think that's crazy. And when you go to purchase a phone, look, yeah, and make sure it does analog. And don't just ask the Singular guy, and don't just ask the Sprint guy.
Because they're not
going to know.
No, they don't know. Look, if you're going to go buy a phone, and these days, it depends what plan you get. If you're going to go buy a phone straight outright, they're fucking expensive as hell. But you know, if you're going to spend that kind of money, if you're buying it straight out, get your specs before you go in. Know what you're buying. Just don't rely on asshole salesman, because he's making a commission off your ass.
Oh, yeah. And people making a commission will lie off their ass each to buy something.
And no, you don't need the carrying case also. You asshole named Chris at fucking Radio Shack. I don't want the fucking case. I don't need an extra battery, you cunt. I hate that guy. Every time I go to Radio Shack, he's like, hey, obfuscate it. You need a carrying case? And fuck you. I just want a battery. I want a AA batteries. That's all I want. I'm going to go to Walmart from now on, you dick.
I didn't do a little research when I was getting my Singular plan, and I was told that I'd be able to plug it into my laptop and get on the internet, so I got extra minutes with my plan, so I figured I'd be using this. They never told me that I had to subscribe to the digital network, which doesn't fucking work around here. The digital data network. And, so all these extra minutes I'm paying for, I'm not using, because I thought that I'd be able to use it. And that person that sold it to me made their commission, and they did well, and it looked good on their little report that day that they, you know, got me to pay a lot of fucking money for a plan, and I didn't do my research. And I'm a little pissed at Singular for a lot of reasons, and that's just one of them. Do a little research for you by phone. I know I'm going to do that from now on. Okay? Next.
Okay, man. This is not really an article. It's kind of like not a rant, really, because I don't rant. I'm too lazy to rant. But you know, you hear a lot of things about, you know, the movie industry, you know, Hollywood's fucking you in the ass, which is true. And you gotta realize, they're always screaming about them losing money. That's what you hear all the time. They're losing money. And Droops, why are they losing money, supposedly?
Piracy, buddy.
Okay, this is a little tale that's going great out of proportion, and they'll tell you this, that stealing shit is like fucking them over. This is not the truth. It's blown out of proportion. Okay, they might lose some money due to this, But these are usually people who wouldn't go to see the movie in the first place, the theater. This is usually people who go rent them.
Yeah.
Okay, now let me explain something to you. The movie industry hasn't been what it a full throttle since the 60s. If you ever look at the decline of, like, you know, the movie sales, they've been declining since the 60s. It has nothing to do with the, us downloading movies. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. So, and even though how much more money they're spending on movies nowadays, they're still not making their money back like they used to. Because it's shitty. And I know a lot of people that talk about, it costs too much to go to the movies. Where I'm at $7.50. That's not really that much considering what it used to be.
Yeah.
Okay, nobody listening to the show is going to remember this, because I don't remember it either. I just know from, you know, I talk to older people all the time, and they tell me a lot of shit. Movies, going to the movies used to be an event. You just didn't go with your, you know, baseball cap on backwards and a pair of jeans, and you dressed up to go to the fucking movies. It was like an honor to go to the movies. You know, there wasn't, because movies didn't show on television. If you're going to go see a movie, you're going to go see it now. And my grandma was telling me that, she was an immigrant, and she used to, like, work in the fields all day. So for her and her sister, she had to work a 10-hour shift to pay for her and her sister to go see a movie.
Yeah.
Okay. And she was making pretty decent money back then, and because she knew the people who owned the farm. So that's the equivalent, I'm telling you. But I'm going to go through the list of top-grossing films of all time in the U.S. This is adjusted for inflation, so that you're getting the real facts here. The real facts. Not just, you know, the top 10, because everybody knows a dollar in 1920 is not a dollar now.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is going to... I'm only telling you this list just to prove a point. How the decline of movies. Okay? Number one of... I'll tell you what, I'm going to give the top 15. That'll give you more perspective. Number 15, what? Return of the Jedi, 1983. Number 14, Empire Strikes Back, 1980. Number 13, The Exorcist, 1973. 101 Dalmatians, 1961. Number 11, Ben-Hur, 1959. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, 1937. The Jungle Book, 1967. No one's ever heard of this movie. Dr. Zhivago.
I've seen Dr. Zhivago. Dr. Zhivago is an excellent movie.
Excellent movie. Not too many people have seen this movie. Go check it out. Dr. Zhivago. We'll put a link on it. 1965. Jaws, 1975. Titanic, 1997. Notice this is the only movie that's on here from the anywhere in the last 20 years. The Ten Commandments, 1956. E.T., 1982. The Sound of Fucking Music, 1965.
Another excellent movie.
Yes. No.
What?
The Sound of Music?
I'm a lonely goat herd, ole, ole, ole. You don't like The Sound of Music?
It's a little too frolically for me. I don't frolic.
Alright, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's only musical in the top 15. Number 2, Star Wars, 1977. You will never guess what number 1 is.
What?
Gone with the Fucking Wind, 1939.
Huh.
Adjusted box office earnings. Okay, let me see if I can read this. 1,187 million dollars. No, it's more than that. It's billion. It's in the billions. Never mind.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Gone with the Wind.
Excellent movie.
Gone with the Wind. Yeah, it actually is an excellent movie. Number one. And this list I'm looking at is that Oh, fuck, I saved it locally, so I don't know where it's fucking coming from. Oh, yeah, the Movie Times. That's the name of the site. It's the-movie-times.com. And, actually, if you look at the top, this list goes all the way to the top 115.
Yeah?
There's hardly any movies in here from the last 20 years. Hardly any.
Well, my dad used to go to the movie theater in his little town. My dad's like 73. And they used to go for the air conditioning.
Mm-hmm. That's what you do.
Like, it was a big event. You dressed up and you went and sat in there with your friends and you brought your candy in and you enjoyed the air conditioning. Because people didn't have air conditioning in their houses. Movie theaters did. They helped bring air conditioning to the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
People found out how nice it was.
Oh, yeah. Film used to be, you can usually see a lot of independent films at a lot of movie theaters because they were locally owned.
Yeah.
You know, up till recently, the last 7 years, the town where I pretty much spend most of my hanging out teenager days, Hammond, Louisiana, still had some independent theaters. Independent meaning locally owned by some guy named Franco, I think his name was. But Franco got bought out by UA. Unfortunately.
That's how it goes.
That's how it goes. And those days are gone. But just realize that when you're in an argument with somebody about this, and I try to say, it is stealing, okay? No question about that. When you download a movie, you're stealing it. But it's not the decline of film industry, you doing this. Also, realize, when you go to Walmart, each store I've ever worked at has a thing called, in their budget, they have it where, if they have a section where stolen goods.
Yeah.
They expect some shit to get stolen. That's just the way, that's the way just things work.
Shrinkage is the business term for that.
That's the name of it? And the movie industry don't have it. They're just too busy spending, money on movies that shouldn't be spending money on. You know, let's make a movie for $200 million when logically you can have made it for like $6 or $7 million.
Oh, yeah. And see, they're putting out a lot more movies than they used to. Like, when Gone with the Wind came out, that was probably the only movie in the theaters for a long time.
Well, a mainstream movie. There was actually...
Mainstream movie.
Mainstream
movie. Now there's, several blockbusters you can see at one time. They're not going to make as much money.
Well, this is often another side thing, is the fact that... I actually watched the ratings of movies, sales-wise, and they've been doing really shitty lately. Like, the summer is the big blockbuster time. It's like, for the movies, the film companies to make their money back from the years lost.
Yeah.
This is how they make their money. For the summer blockbusters, nothing has done any good. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Not a damn movie has done any good. Each movie they put out, and I'm going to tell you right now, I haven't been in the movies in like, I don't know how long, because all the fucking movies suck out there. There's not one goddamn thing out there I can actually go see. I was going to go see Bourne Supremacy only because I have nothing else better to do.
I liked The Bourne Identity. That was a pretty good little movie.
That was decent.
But it wasn't that great.
No, it was decent. I've resorted to start renting movies from the 1950s and 40s to get my pleasure. God damn it. You need to start making some good fucking movies.
Yeah.
More violence, I say. Start with this sissy-ass fucking movie shit. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay, let's go. More your turn, man.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Well, I bought myself a new toy the other day, and it's a little graphics gamepad. It was like $5, and I've been playing the hell out of some Nintendo emulators. Me and Jennifer are actually working on beating Super Mario Brothers 3 right now. Anyway, What's that?
You never beat that?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Back when I was a little kid, but I never beat it without using the whistles. Yeah, we're trying to actually beat it all the way through for real. Anyway, there's a federal law came out January the 1st. It's called the Federal Can Spam Act, and it's designed to make it harder for spammers to conceal their identities, and also addresses how marketers are allowed to build and maintain their email lists, requiring pre-existing business relationships between sender and recipient, and it also requires a mechanism for the recipient to opt out of future emails. And in the study, they surveyed 2,000 email users. 47% said they were receiving more unsolicited junk mail. And 3 months after the law went into effect, that's when they surveyed. Anyway, among the respondents, 69% said at least half the email they received is spam. Even a lot more spam than I get legitimate email on my Pop3 account.
my Google Mail has actually been doing pretty well. And if you, it's not written anywhere, just in plain text. Like, if you go to the website, it's actually an image. And I got that idea. I think it was from Ben Rev Radio. They were talking about ways to, you know, reduce spam. And that's been doing really well. And this CAN-SPAM Act isn't really working that well because they can't really stop people from other countries. And they can't seem to stop your buddy that lives, your next-door neighbor. What's his name?
My next-door neighbor?
Yeah, the guy in Houma.
No, Slidell.
Slidell.
Yeah, my friend over there. I'm really tempted just to give all his information out in the air.
Yeah. Now, some people have been prosecuted under this law. In April, federal government charged 4 people with sending fraudulent sales pitches for weight loss products. And in June, federal prosecutors charged an employee of Time Warner, the AOL division, with conspiring to sell 92 million AOL email addresses to spammers. And Jim Lester, who's the president of Consumers Union, called the CAN-SPAM Act inadequate, saying that regulators should require that consumers elect to receive commercial solicitations rather than ask not to. And they're also criticizing the law's effort to distinguish between unwanted mail from legitimate mass marketers and the deceptive spammers. Spam is spam, and consumers don't want any of it, he says. Spams, you can't stop it. It's going to be around. You can... The best way to not get spam is to be proactive against it. Don't require legislation to stop it, because that's not going to stop it. Get a spam filter. Have a couple of them on your computer. And let that filter your email. You're not going to stop it. They need to educate people more on how to stop it than legislate how to stop it.
Right. I agreed on it at first. When I first heard about it, I'm like, yeah, do something about it, but it's gone too far. Number one, you're not going to stop it. Because it's just the way the internet works. It's not going to, you know, just the way the internet works, you know, shows it's not going to be able to stop it. And you're not going to find, you know, Taiwan is not going to do legislation on stopping spam. You know what I'm saying? So you always have, it's going to be coming from somewhere all the time. I think it's time for the business people to, it's really, only thing is, it's not really, this canned spam is not for us. It's for the businesses who are actually, it's costing them money for the.
And some congressman that gets too many spams.
Right, and businesses, they do have a legitimate complaint about it. But the businesses just need to buck up and find ways to get rid of it from their servers to start with. You know, filters, custom filters just for them.
Yeah.
You know, how much are you willing to spend versus how much it's costing you? It's not every time, every time you have something going wrong with your company that you have to spend money for, you have to get legislation for it.
Yeah.
You know, buck up. Get your shit together. Hire more intelligent IT guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just because, you know, you hired somebody with an A+ cert doesn't mean they know how to fucking write a filter for you.
Yes, this is true.
You know, get somebody that knows what the fuck they're talking about. And buck up and do what you're supposed to do. Run a fucking business.
A+ certification.
Yeah.
There's an obfuscated knock in my degree.
What's that?
There you go, making fun of my degree.
I've got one.
I don't. I was just picking.
Okay.
You don't actually have to be certified to work on computers at Circuit City.
I didn't think so. I've talked to those guys before.
Yeah. Oh, Lordy.
Okay.
Well, last article that I've got is not really an article at all. It's actually it's a no game. It's actually an ad that I saw flipping through the little junk ads in the paper. And it's $10. It's $9.95. For a Bell Howell 9-band world radio. It's got FM, AM, TV, and shortwaves. For free shipping. And I'm actually going to send off one. I have a very nice Grundig shortwave radio. But I'm going to see how well this $10 radio works. And maybe I'll give it to you when I'm done.
Cool.
And then you can have your own shortwave radio. But I think that's really cool that they're offering, you know, crap like this. Doesn't have weather bands, which is kind of shitty. But, I don't know, thought it was kind of cool, and I'm going to have a review for it as soon as I get it.
Yeah, I actually went to the Ham Fest. It was here in Baton Rouge. It was, oh, my God, how long was that ago? It was
I couldn't tell you. I think it was like 6 months ago. It's pretty interesting.
Huh.
Really interesting sitting down with the old guys. I didn't understand a fucking word they were saying.
Yeah.
I like talking to people that are really interested in what they're really interested in what they're doing, even though I don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Well, that sport I play, geocaching, a lot of those guys are hams. There's a lot of ham interest in it. I think it's just old nerd kind of sport.
Right. It's a great thing. I just want to start my own conspiracy theory show. Kind of like Coast to Coast AM. They talk about different conspiracies. Like, I think fleas have a thing against me.
Fleas?
Yeah.
Do you have fleas?
No, I don't have fleas.
Wonder, buddy.
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Are you talking English here?
I'm so fucking tired, man. Anyway, I got one more article and we'll close up the show.
All right.
Okay, and a overture to the open source community, IBM has released its Java-based CloudScape relational database software, also known as Derby, to the Apache Software Foundation. This is a quote. This is not just about opening the code. We want to work with the open source community in developing new applications, says IBM's Rod Smith.
Excellent.
Excellent, man. I can't wait to actually. I don't know if that's out like for everybody just yet, but I would love to get my hands on that and hack away, as they say, in the hood.
That's awesome.
Okay.
I got my Novell CDs the other day.
You did? I haven't checked my box yet, so I'll probably do that later on tonight.
It's got Enterprise Server 4, Enterprise Linux Services, GroupWide, Red Carpet Enterprise, and SUSE Linux 8.2 and 9.1 Professional.
Someone actually also posted on the BinRef forums I got theirs in, so I really can't wait to I'm supposing mine's in now because I did get a letter saying that I was going to ship mine off. So I can't wait to play with that also.
Well, that's right. I don't think I forgot a letter saying that they had shipped mine off.
Well, I did. They said there's going to be a delay, and they said
maybe I didn't send them the right email address.
Probably. I've got like 15 of those motherfuckers floating around somewhere. But before we close the show out, we're going to Shirley Q's come back again.
Excellent.
And take it, Shirley.
Child, how you doing? This here is Shirley Q. Liquor. You know what a hamster is? A little rat-looking thing. I got just fascinated with one. And I was just staring it out down at Walmart's, and I was looking at them things, and just running around. It was so cute, I said, I just have to have it. And it was $3.99. Lord, it was high for a hamster. And then the woman said, well, you have to put it in a cage. I said, no, I'm just going to let it run free. I said, I believe in free animals, you know. And I'm very concerned that way. And I didn't even get that thing home before he had crawled on my leg. I had to slam on brakes on that Cadillac. That thing was running around like a crazy rat up in there. And they said they can't see good, can't see but 3 inches in front of them. I said, it sure do have some nerve then. Cause see, I'm driving 90 miles an hour and this thing trying to crawl up my dread. Well, I finally got it home and I introduced it to the children and they didn't like it. My twin, them gay boys, Lamangelo and Aronzo girl, they went to shrieking. Ooh, they were screaming. They got up on the dining room table hollering. I said, don't be afraid. It's not no rat. I said, it's a hamster. I said, look, it don't have much of a tail on to it. Oh, but they were scared of it. So I said, all right, I'm going to put it in the backyard. And I went out there and I was set that thing down, figuring it would take a nap or something, and proceed to drink me a 40 or two. And next thing I looked, that thing was gone. I have not saw where it went. So that's $4 plus tax wasted on a hamster. And so I just want to say they do not make a good pet. They don't mind. They don't mind nothing you tell them to. They're just ignorant. They are ignorant animals. You tell your mama, I asked her how she do. Till I saw something that looked like her recently. Shoot, twitching nose and everything.
Well, Shirley gets funnier every time I hear her.
Yeah, she gets drunker every time I hear her.
Yeah, that is one drunk person.
Also, I want to talk about the next show. there's a lot of the internet radio shows that are that done stories about, you know, how to record a show.
Yeah.
But they actually had, most of them are talking about, you know, how to do it, like how to verbally do a show. Which is good, which you need that to start a show. But, I haven't heard really anybody talk about physically how to do it, you know, what software you need, how do you go about doing it, how to get the best quality sound. And, that's gonna, I'm in the process of right now writing an article, talking about this.
Yeah, don't use your cell phone, as you can see from our example. You sound like ass.
No, you don't, man. I think you sound okay.
Okay. Maybe you shouldn't be the guy writing this article, then, if you think I sound okay.
You dick. Hey, it's best we can do on a ramen noodle budget.
Ramen noodle budget, baby.
Yeah, but I'm gonna talk about that on the next show. I'm gonna get like really in depth with it and talk about the software you need, different techniques to get a better sounding quality sound, and how to do it on the cheap.
Excellent.
Okay, we're gonna go for the list of the week. The site of the week is, you can't pimp this site out enough, textfiles.com.
Well, Mr. Jason Scott.
Right, definitely check that site out. Tons and tons of information. He also has a documentary coming out about the world of BBS back in the day.
And, it's true.
And I've seen the trailer for it. I really can't. I don't know. I've never personally been on one. But I really can't wait for that to come out. Really can't wait. And also, there's another site that I've been wanting to talk about. I kept forgetting about it. There's a site called Arc. This is along the same lines as Text Files. It's a site called archive.org. Excellent, excellent fucking site. I came to the site because this site hosts movies that which their copyrights have gone away for some reason. For some reason or another, you can find movies like excellent black and white films, like a movie called DOA, which is really fucking good. Not the sucky ass 90s remake, but the original one, which is really good. Basically, the movie's about this guy who finds out he's about to die. He drank some poison or whatever, and he has to find out before he dies who killed him.
Okay.
The opening movie is actually pretty cool. You see him walking into a police station and ask him, what kind of report you want to file. He's like, I want to report a murder. He's like, for who? Me.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a really good movie, really good movie. And actually, you can find the original Night of the Living Dead on here.
Huh. You know, I was actually about to speak about Night of the Living Dead.
Yes.
If you go to netbroadcaster.com, they have a lot of these old movies that are in the public domain, as it would be.
Right.
And you can actually watch Night of the Living Dead. I was actually planning on watching it sometime pretty soon.
Really? Speaking of Night of the Living Dead, if anybody wants to go check out the original, like the trilogy, the Dead trilogy, which is Night of the Living Dead, Day of the Dead, and Dawn of the Dead, what I liked about those movies, and they don't have that shit in these movies nowadays, with these zombie movies coming out now. Those three movies actually was more about... was more of a political commentary more than anything.
Yeah.
For instance, Night of the Living Dead, the original one, had like a black main character, which back in those days you didn't have.
Yeah.
And it was an independent film. They were like really... And it goes in a lot of political commentary in that movie, in all three movies, about how society is at the moment. Well, during the 70s and the 60s, obviously. But they're really good flicks. And gory as fuck.
I've never actually seen it, so I'm kind of
Well, the original Night of the Dead isn't gory, but it's pretty interesting to watch. To see how it all...
I watched Taxi Driver for the first time the other day.
What'd you think?
It was a really awesome movie, except the blood was like clear pink.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Clear pink was kind of funny, but other than that, excellent movie.
I think it was supposed to be cartoonish in a way, but... I love that. I'm not going to go into that because I love that fucking movie so much. Anyway.
Jodie Foster's hot when she's young.
She was 14.
I know. We're getting to talk about that too, aren't we?
I know. But
okay, from this point on, there's nothing more intelligent going to be said. Listen to your own risk.
Okay, man. Archive.org. Definitely check that out. I also have a lot of other shit going on there, which is on the same line as textfiles.com. I've always found Archive really interesting, and those two sites are great. Quote of the week, you had one?
Oh, yeah. Quote of the week. I already have said it, and I turned my screen off. Hold on 1 second. I'll get to it.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead.
What was your quote of the week?
Well, I have this boss. He's not very there. And I went to call his cell phone to tell him something work-related. His voicemail said, I wish I would recorded it because he changed it after I told him about it. He said, he's like, his name is Matt. Okay, this is Matt. Leave a message to the beep.
Okay.
Leave a message to the beep. And he also told me yesterday to wake up and go to sleep.
Yeah.
Okay, the cunt of the week, do you have one?
No.
I have one. They're called women.
Who is it, buddy?
They're called women.
All women?
Fucking all women.
Excluding my fiance, because I like her.
She's a cool chick. All women.
Okay.
I would go into that, but I think I'd probably be sued a few times. And also the term of the week, there's this chick at work that actually called another guy a necro cunt.
A necro cunt. We actually came up with another term.
I'm going to try to fuck this chick.
I don't know if it was during the show or if it was before the show. Microsoft it up instead of fuck it up.
Microsoft it up.
You're talking about business or computers.
I like that. But you also had a term of the week, so. Not a term of the week, but a quote of the week.
All right, you ready for my two quotes of the week?
Yes, Captain.
Okay, there, champ. The cost-benefit of offering a digital-only phone for us hasn't outweighed the impact it would have on our ability to provide the consumer with adequate coverage outside our networks. And that's Kevin Beebe from Alltel. And then spam is spam, and consumers don't want any of it, said Jim Guest, who's the president of the Consumers Union. Yay.
Anything else, man?
I'm good, other than the whole pedophile thing you were coming up with.
The what?
The necrophiliacs.
Oh, yeah. Did I mention that?
No. Go ahead.
Okay, we're starting an organization here at Infonomicon. The organization's called NAP. NAP. Necrophiliacs Against Pedophiles. We feel that we are being mistreated by these creeps that like to go ahead and have sex with little children.
Yeah, they're giving sex offenders a bad name.
Yeah. You know, just because we want to fuck dead people doesn't make it right you have to pick on us. They don't feel it. Yeah. They don't know.
You don't know how it is. I actually read an article the other day about a guy that has sex with dolphins. Not like he goes and, like, grabs a dolphin, but, like, I think I've seen that.
There used to be a website called Dolphin Sex.
Yeah, that's what it was, buddy.
And he's, like, justifying the whole shit.
Yeah, he's like, it's natural. They love me. Freak.
Oh, man. Also, we're going to be trying to get on Rant Radio.
Are we now?
Pretty soon. We don't know how this is going to go. They probably hate us. But we'll see how that goes. And hopefully we're still on the Rant, the hack streaming server, which Stank Dog talked about on Binary Revolution number... Fuck me in a goat's ass. Huh?
Something. Number something.
I think it's 57. I hope I'm not mistaken. Okay. It's coming along. Hopefully it's going to be released soon, and we're really excited about that. And shouts out to Stank for everything he's doing for that thing going on over there.
All right. I'd like to give shouts out to Voodoo Hal. I'd like to give shouts out to Stank Dog, and I'd like to give shouts out to our two listeners, Jason Scott and Pixel Fiend. And if you would like to be included on our members list, our listeners, our buddies, just send us an email and say, hey, I listened to your show for 5 minutes and we'll be set.
You know what? And after this free trial offer, if you want a shout out, $5 a pop.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting tired of this fucking shit. We're broke. I need the fucking money. It's been like a week since I bought a hooker. So you fuckers better fucking get the cash out of the pockets, all right? Because I need my dick sucked. Anyway, I'll give my shouts out to, of course, Dang Dog, at BenRev.com, Voodoo Howl, Pixel Fiend, Kizzle the Shizzle, and you know what? I'll give a shout out to Droops. You are a fine.
Thanks, they're obfuscated.
You are a fine co-host.
Hey, thanks, buddy. I was thinking myself as the host, and you're the co-host.
We're both co-hosts.
Okay.
That's how that works.
I don't care.
And together.
All right, everybody. Well, good night.
I'm not done yet.
Sleep tight.
We're two that become one.
Okay, go.
Okay, I also want to say shouts out to In Theory for pimping the show on BenRev. Thanks for the compliments. And the closing, since we're talking about necrophilia, I just thought of this top of my head. The closing music is going to be a song called Code Blue by TSOL, which talks about necrophilia. So that's going to be our closing music.
All right. Sounds good to me, buddy.
Okay, man. Until then, we're Mickey Finn.
Later, everybody.